Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Kasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big, get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim, and I have Mateen filling in for Kasim today. And our guest today is Edward Connors. Edward, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
My name is Ed Connors, and I opened up the first Gold's Gym franchise 43 years ago. And right now I'm in Austin, Texas, working on starting a new gym chain and also promoting my book, The Three Muscle Tiers, which was released a year and a half ago, but is now available on audio.
So what was that process like for you? I mean, opening up the first Gold's Gym, I mean, what was that like?
In hindsight, it should have, I guess, seemed scarier than it was. I've always been very impulsive. And there was a gym for sale, ironically called Diamond Gym in San Francisco. I had gone to UC Berkeley, and the owners of that gym felt that they couldn't be a Gold's Gym. They would be the next best thing, which was Diamond. Well, a year earlier, I had purchased the original Gold's Gym in LA with two bodybuilding partners. I'm an architect. So we thought if everybody, not everybody can come to the Mecca of bodybuilding, so we'll bring the Mecca of bodybuilding to the people. And I believe we helped change the culture regarding fitness.
So in that time, I'm sure it wasn't easy to do, but you know, so you changed the culture regarding fitness. So I mean, like, I know like early on, Arnold Schwarzenegger, I know, was involved. So did you work with him, or what was that like?
Well, in my book, I credit Arnold Schwarzenegger and Joe Gold and Gold's Gym, and also Joe Weider for the change in the culture regarding fitness. Arnold was really, he was loyal to Joe Gold because that's where he had come when he first came to America. Joe Gold was owned Gold's Gym then. So he really wasn't part of my life while at Gold's Gym. He's a big part of it now, but he was loyal. And Joe Gold, when he had sold his name, decided he would do the next best thing, like when he got back from his travels and he opened up a World Gym. So that became sort of a dueling franchises, but we were never competitive. We were number one, he was number two, and the powerhouse gym chain was number three.
So obviously you've been in the fitness industry for a long time. So what have you seen, you know, today that's different from when you first started?
There's a big change. Change is the one constant in life. And I don't think people fully appreciate that. But I could never have done what I did, my partners and I did with Gold's Gym in the 80s and 90s with today's millennials or Gen Z. I think they respect the fitness people more than they were respected in their heyday, but they don't want to train or eat like they do to look like they do. But I do think they respect what they can learn from them. And that's why I'm working on a new gym concept.
So can you talk a little bit more about this new gym concept? And also, if at all, if technology is involved in it.
Well, it is. It's all based on virtual training. In other words, I want to use technology to make working out more accessible. I think there's 80% of Americans right now that don't work out, but would if they knew what to do. So my model has three components, basically cardio, stretching or yoga, and strength. And they would all be done with virtual instruction so that you, which I think, you know, with the technology available is much more entertaining than it ever has been. I think the problem with a lot of so-called virtual training in the past, it's been done on the cheap, a projection TV screen in a room with some bikes. And nowadays we can have an entire wall filled with an LED screen and an incredible sound system to transport people to another world while they're biking for 30 minutes.
Makes sense. So in terms of being in the fitness technology space, there's a lot of competition, right? I mean, you're talking about something that many people are already doing. They're doing fitness class online, fitness training online. So what makes what you're doing different or better than your competition?
I think people are lonely. They want community. It takes a very rare person to work out at home, you know, using a video. I just can't imagine most people doing that. I mean, I think of how many home gym pieces of equipment I've seen in my past 45 years. They just become tie racks. And now people don't even wear ties. So, no, I'm looking to help the masses, the big bulk of the people. Not that kind of that type of person is rare. You know, they get bored easily. They get even even people who do that, I think, still want to go out. Even if they're working at home, they still want to go to some place and meet other people, whether it's a Starbucks or a gym.
Sure. So is artificial intelligence or augmented reality involved at all in your new business?
Not yet, but I certainly am open to it. I'd like to have fresh material, which I think AI could create. I would use a holographic instructor for the yoga. And I think an AI instructor informed by AI could offer an endless variety of classes.
That's really cool. In terms of, throughout your career, what has been your biggest challenge?
The biggest challenge, I was involved in 37 Goldstein franchises. And our biggest challenge with my partners, I always had partners in those, was, getting financing. And if it weren't for the SBA and the ability to borrow money, if you had a home, I don't think I could have done what I did. And at the end, of course, when I sold the business the first time in 99, the goal was to basically get access to money that could buy up our successful operators that wanted to sell. And, I tried to do an IPO, but failed. It was a difficult time. The .com bubble had burst, and that was off the table. But I think the biggest challenge for any business is money. The banks only lend it to you if you don't need it.
As of today, you're no longer involved with Gold's Gym. Is that correct?
That's correct. I sold out in 2004. I've reached out to them to try and help them, but they were bought up by a German chain 3 years ago when Gold's Gym went into bankruptcy. And I think they need help. And I reached out because nobody understands the American service industry better than America. It's totally different in Europe. What works there doesn't necessarily work here, like turnstiles in the gym. That's a very European notion.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely, it's funny because I live in Uptown Dallas and there was a location that closed down during COVID. They just weren't able to make it. So I think that they've definitely faced some challenges recently.
Well, the gyms are too big for the current market. The big, but there are five kinds of gyms now in America, and the big box gyms are in trouble. I think because the millennials are the baby boomers are not going back to the gym in the same number. They're staying home, or they've learned to work out at home, or they're afraid of getting sick, and that's a significant. There's enough of them staying home that it's impacted the gym business in a very big way. So again, change. Going to come even quicker after COVID because of things like that.
So if somebody was going to open a gym today, what would you recommend? Because I think, at least I'll just say like what I've seen is you have, very high tier gyms. You have like the Lifetime Fitness of the world. Then you have the Anytime Fitness gym, which are cheaper, but 24 hours. And you have like the very niche gyms that are like Cycle Ball, cycling. So, what would you recommend if someone was going to start a gym today?
I've consulted with a few operators who have opened smaller gyms. I call it almost back to the future. In other words, what was old is new again. The Gold's Gym, when I bought it with my two partners in 1979, was 4,500 square feet. And people don't understand that. They can't believe that. But nowadays, I would advise, if someone wants to open a gym and more of a personal training gym, I would advise to go under 10,000 square feet. So the big box gyms which are typically around 35,000 square feet, are in trouble. But if you can keep your rent low, you have a chance of making it. And also, people are paying more for that kind of big gym. So the boutique gyms, the independent studios, I think they're in trouble. The big box gyms. I read an article the other day that Lifetime Fitness, which has the 125,000 square foot plus boxes, is actually leasing out space now for office use. So basically, they're taking a shared office provider concept into the gym just to fill space. So even they're hurting.
So would you recommend kind of more of like a niche type of gym? If you're like, maybe CrossFit or like cycling or yoga, like something very niche specific.
I wouldn't. I think CrossFit is bad. I mean, it hurts a lot of people. It's a boon to chiropractors. I don't like it at all. And it's an independent single use gyms like yoga or Pilates. They're not going to make it either. I think you need to combine several in one format, which is what I'm working on. So I think the only viable niche alternative right now is a small personal training gym that's between 4 and 10,000 square feet, depending on the rent or whether you own the building or not. That seems to be working. People are getting between $50 and $100 or $135 a month for those kind of gyms. So if you do the pro forma, you know, if you only have 1,000 members, you can do quite well.
Say a small personal training gym, is it more of a gym that has a hyper focus on personal training? Or like, what do you mean by that?
It is one that has more emphasis on personal training, yes, where you would have an instructor or a smaller gym where you could get help. That's and the personal trainers basically become your sales staff to get people to come to the gym, and then they are paid separately to train them.
So back to franchising, do you think that franchising today would be a successful model? Like I mentioned, Anytime Fitness or some of these types of chains, you know, somebody wanted to own one of those. Do you think that's something where they could do well?
Yeah, Anytime Fitness is doing, I think, a great job compared to anyone else in that area. They're charging a very low franchise fee. I think it's $750 a month, which is close to what Gold's Gym was charging. Whereas a lot of the bigger chain, like Planet Fitness, they're probably around 7% of gross revenue. So if you're grossing $100,000 a month, you're paying a $7,000 fee to Planet Fitness. That's a hefty fee. I mean, you could buy a lot of advertising for that. And I also, the Anytime Fitness model, that varies, depends on where you are in the U.S., because some of the states don't allow unmanned gyms over a certain size. So you're limited as to how many square feet you can have under your roof with that model.
I had no idea there was a state law in some states.
I think, for instance, in California, if you have a private unmanned gym, or at least, you know, unmanned, certain, it's 24 hours, but no one's there at the counter after 10 o'clock at night, then you can't be more than 6,700 square feet, which that's not a bad size, but again, it limits you a little bit.
No, I haven't. Yeah, I guess I know that oftentimes that those gyms are very like lean staff. They might have like somebody at the front desk for like 5-6 hours a day, like a personal trainer, but it's not, they usually don't have people, you know, sitting there all day long per se.
Well, that's where technology has come in a really beautiful way, because I would never have considered doing a gym like that in the past, but nowadays you've got the, you know, very affordable cameras. You've got the, you know, the fob, the key entry systems that are foolproof. So, you know, the risk of someone getting hurt or raped or attacked or whatever in the gym is minimal, given all the security that you can put in it at a low cost. So that model gym is actually really only possible because of the technology we have now.
Sure. So in terms of, you know, what you're building out right now, what would you say is your top priority in the next 3 to 6 months?
I'm trying to get a shared office provider to partner with me on this, because I see that as a very logical place to put this model. Again, just the fact the other day that Lifetime Fitness now is leasing out office space, I would encourage the office providers to then begin putting gyms in their own spaces. I was working with WeWork in 2019, but they were a hot mess, and it looks now they're going to go into bankruptcy. So I don't consider them a candidate, but they actually had the dream, the goal to open up gyms in all of their facilities. They opened only one in New York, but they had the bright idea to do something like this. And I think it's a great, you know, all these shared office companies, basically they're offering the same thing. So the only difference is the amenities they offer. So if they could offer their tenants a gym, I think it would be very helpful to their business.
100% agree. I have a membership at one of those places. And I know, especially in Austin, you have so many founders and so many tech people that are working at these co-working spaces. I think that, you know, that's a very good idea.
Oh, thank you. Because I think, again, you know, I'm sure you've done it yourself, where you're in that shared office space for 10, 12 hours a day. And you would love just a chance to escape for even a power nap. I would have sleep rooms in my models where you could go, you know, grab a 15, 20 minute nap or take a shower, or, you know, then hopefully do a yoga class and then maybe come back and do some strength training. We'd all be there in the building.
Yeah, no, definitely. I was just curious. So like, what would you say is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started your business career?
I would say if you had somebody older and wiser you could talk to that would be kind of a mentor. I know the term life coach is kind of made fun of or mocked, but I really wish I had somebody older I could talk to and who would maybe, you know, would have help me avoid some of the mistakes. Well, for instance, when we started franchising, we made the mistake of giving up too big a territory, which I'm sure somebody older and wiser could have helped me avoid. On the other hand, we didn't mandate to our franchises they buy a certain line of equipment, which is a mistake a lot of fast food restaurants have made or made in the beginning. And also some of the other gym chain mandated you have to buy this equipment, which is as actually verges on being illegal. So we avoided that mistake. But no, I wish I'd had more intelligent advisors or people I would have gone to for help.
100%. I think you can never have enough mentors. I mean, that's so important. If we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you expect things to go for your business?
I hope I've opened a few facilities. It takes a while, but I would say in a year I should have something open.
That's exciting, and we're rooting for you. So if somebody wanted to reach out, so you mentioned that you just wrote a book, so do you mind sharing that? And the best way for somebody watching this to get in contact with you?
Well, you can go to my book, and let me see, on the back of the book, I'm going to look for a copy, just a minute. This is my book. Can you see? Oh, I've got that. There we are.
Oh, yeah, I see it. Yeah. Nice.
But you can go to that. And then on the back cover is my website, www.edconnors.com. You can go to that and send me an email from my website.
So your book is called The Three Muscle Tears, right?
Three Muscle Tears. Yeah, it's one of those words I came up with because I think once you say it, you don't forget it. And again, I was on the cover of the book, you'll see me in my image, a stick figure wearing a coat and tie. I was the business person. I wore a coat and tie every day for 25 years. And my two partners were bodybuilders. Of course, they wore track suits and helped people with their training. So it was, I think it's important. That's another good point to make for your listeners, is I really think it takes a team. And I think Silicon Valley has proved that you, I mean, as brilliant as Elon Musk seems to be or Steve Jobs, they had a lot of bright people working with them. They had to build incredible teams. And I don't think anyone, I don't like this whole concept of, you know, Jack Welch, the CEO. And I mean, he basically fired anyone who was a threat to him underneath him. And that probably cost GE a hell of a lot of talent. So I really, it takes a team.
100% agree. And I would say that Mateen, who's just, you know, he's been a bit shy, but he's a big part of our team. So he's just been listening. But, you know, so he's one of our partners. But yeah, it's definitely important. Like Mateen and I aren't always, you know, something like we have some disagreements, but it's all good because it's, you know, it's ultimately, to your point, it's like we all have the same missions. And if we all have, you know, same perspective, it's not going to be, you know, create a good business. We all want to like have these discussions and see like, okay, look, let's align. Let's get together on this thing or that thing. So,
yeah, I know it's very, I mean, nobody could possibly wear all the same, all the hats needed. You know, it would be wholly unlikely that somebody would be good in everything. Yeah. So yeah, it takes, and I would try to build a team with my gyms. You know, I would have four or five partners. So you would try and find people that had different skill sets that you could basically, they would add that to the whole mix.
Definitely. Well, Ed, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time. We're rooting for you and we're wishing you the best of luck.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining. All right, bye.
Bye.